Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. John will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts toward their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In honor of the Nativity, the birthday of St. John the Baptist, I would like to deliver a different kind of homily than my usual fire and brimstone sermon that you get. Since St. John preached baptism, I'd like to preach an apology on why Catholics baptize babies. Now, I'm not going to apologize for this Catholic practice as if I'm saying I'm sorry for it and hope it doesn't offend anyone. Rather, quite the contrary. I would like to defend this Catholic practice and show why it is laudable. That's the traditional meaning of the word apology, or in Latin, apologia. That is, it is a defense of something, giving arguments in favor of something. I'm going to lawyer up today. In 1865, Blessed John Henry Newman wrote his eloquent essay called Apologia Pro Vita Sua, which is Latin and means a defense of his own life. Newman was a towering intellect teaching at Oxford in England, and he was an Anglican. But much prayer and study led him to abandon the Anglican communion and embrace Catholicism. In fact, he was so well respected and admired that in the wake of his conversion to Catholicism, thousands of other people became Catholic too. His apology explained his reasons for converting to Catholicism. And my apology today offers a few reasons why Catholics baptize babies. But first, you should know that this Catholic custom of baby baptizing is highly controversial in many Christian corners. Most, if not all, non-denominational churches question it and criticize it. For Bible Christians, Only professing faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior saves you. Baptism does not save you. One non-denominational minister put it starkly. To count on one's baptism, whether as an infant or as an adult, as the basis of standing before God is to trust in a false hope. He went on, only personal faith in the crucified and risen Savior saves a person from sin and hell. You know, I remember a brief conversation shortly after Pope John Paul II died with the clerk at a grocery store. After he expressed his condolences, he exclaimed, "Now there's one Catholic that's going to heaven." Clearly, he thought most Catholics would not go to heaven, but John Paul might sneak in. This is why baby baptism needs an apology, a defense. Let me suggest 3 points for your prayerful pondering. First, here's what Catholics do in India. We baptize babies exactly 8 days after they are born. Why do we do that? Because baptism replaced circumcision as the sign of the covenant. Jews would circumcise a baby boy in the Old Testament 8 days after his birth to show that he belonged to the chosen people. So baptism in the New Testament would be 8 days after birth to signify who belongs to Christ. The New Testament mirrors the Old Testament, but it fulfills it and it supersedes it. St. Paul connects circumcision and baptism in his letter to the Colossians, writing, "In Christ you are also circumcised with a circumcision not administered by hand. With the circumcision of Christ, you were buried with him in baptism." In other words, the circumcision of Christ is baptism. And that's why I was baptized 8 days after I was born in New Delhi. I know the exact day I was baptized, July 21st, 1969. Do you know what day you were baptized? Secondly, did you know that Catholics believe in 3 kinds of baptism? The most commonplace baptism involves pouring water on someone or being immersed in water. The second type is called baptism of desire. Let's say someone is preparing to be baptized and has completed all the classes, but tragically dies on the way to church. They were baptized by virtue of their desire to be baptized. And the third is the baptism of blood. As you can guess, that refers to those who are persecuted or killed for believing in Jesus, even if they have not formally been baptized with water. Their blood baptizes them. But St. John the Baptist received an utterly unique baptism while in the womb. Luke chapter 1 verse 15 records, "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb." I wonder what our Protestant friends would think of St. John's baptism, not as a baby, but as an embryo. And third, ask yourself, what do all parents want to give their children? Answer, parents want their children to have the best food, the best clothes, the best school, the best friends, and the best church, which is why you come to Immaculate Conception. And when do you start providing the best that you can? When they turn 16, or maybe when they get married, or perhaps you're planning on leaving them the best as an inheritance after you die? Of course not. You start to give your children the best when they are born, or even before they are born. Pregnant moms start taking prenatal vitamins so that they give their babies the best. They stop drinking alcohol to give their babies the best.
You paint your baby's room pink or blue or yellow to give them the best. Well, there is nothing you can give your children better than the circumcision of Christ, the sacrament of baptism. And the sooner the better, even 8 days after they're born. That's why Catholics baptize babies, because baptism is the best they can give them. In the preface to Newman's Apologia Pro Vita Sua, he explained his purpose, paraphrased slightly. I shall account for that phenomenon which to so many seems so unbelievable, that I should have left my kindred and my father's house for a church from which I once turned away with dread. A religion which has flourished through so many ages, among so many nations, amid such variety of social life, in such contrary classes and conditions of men, and after so many revolutions, political and civil, a religion that subdues the reason and overcomes the heart. In the pages that followed, Newman delivered a daunting defense of the Roman Catholic religion and why he became one. And that same remarkable religion urges the baptism of babies. Praised be Jesus Christ.